20 minutes past 8, and it is time to delve into the weekly feed for the week. If you're feeling hungry, wondering what you should be doing this weekend, Callum Boyce has you covered. He's the National Food and Drink Writer for Fairfax and joins us in the studio now. Morning, Callum.
Good morning.
What are we talking about today?
Booze. Oh. Hey, you just hit your knee on the desk.
I got so excited I kicked the table.
I know, booze is exciting, especially on a Friday. This week I released my top 20 bars for 2018 story in the Sydney Morning Herald, and we also talked about some bar trends that you might be picking up on in the last 12 months. So I thought we might go through some of them, starting with No More Straws.
No More Straws, yes.
So I don't know if you've had Jess Miller from Deputy Lord Mayor of Sydney on here as well. She launched an awesome campaign in Sydney this year called Sydney Doesn't Suck. And then you've got similar programs nationally, such as The Last Straw and other assorted straw and sucking puns. It's quite a global movement, which is fair enough. It's the same as like... disposable coffee cups. It's a very singular item you can pinpoint and say, like, this single-use plastic is really clogging up our oceans and our drainways, so let's get rid of it. Bars in particular use so many straws. If you're making a cocktail, the actual bartender making it will often use a straw just to taste it.
Okay.
You'll see them like little black straws and just like give you a Negroni or an old-fashioned taste just to make sure all the sugar and the bitters are on point, and then just dispose that straw away. Like, it's the ultimate single-use item. So, if you're going to a bar these days and they're using single-use plastic straws, just give them a slap on the wrist and point them in the direction of Jess Miller's awesome Sydney Doesn't Suck campaign, because they shouldn't be doing it anymore. They should know better. There's other options out there, such as paper straws, metal straws.
I've seen pasta straws.
That's disgusting.
I mean, I haven't seen one myself because I haven't put myself in the vicinity.
Yeah.
But I've seen pictures of hollow pasta being used as straws.
Oh, okay. Rightio. yeah, that's gross. So anyway, that's probably the biggest trend is no straws. Also, the end of poor quality tonic water, which is great to see. So gin is bloody huge, has been for the last few years. And people are realizing, consumers are smart. It's like, why am I spending $20 on this, gin with 48 native Australian botanicals? And then I'm just going to cover it all with flat tonic water from Postmix tap. It doesn't make any sense. You're going to mute all those flavors. So you've got great local brands such as Cappy and PS Soda. The guys have got a bar in the city as well. Strangelove, they came on the market in the last 12 months or so. And they're doing great things with tonic, ginger beer, and other mixes as well. So there's no excuse now to go to a bar and get a bad mixer, especially if you're going to be spending that top money on your gin or whiskey or whatever. And speaking of gin, I think 2018 might be the year that we hit peak gin.
Peak gin.
In Australia.
So it's going to be all downhill from next year.
I don't know if it'll be downhill, but I think it's going to plateau. So you see, a lot of these gin producers, there's so much. You would have seen them now. It's like, you go to a bar, there's like, hey, we've got 200 gins. It's like, you don't need that many. Why? Give me five good ones. That's all I need. Anyway, so there's so much gin in the market because about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a big independent distillery boom in Australia and in Sydney as well, with guys like Archie Rose, for example, out at Rosebery. And a lot of those guys really want to make whiskey. The problem, or not problem, but just, one of the key things with whiskey is you need to age it for about 4 or 5 years. Five years is good.
Okay.
So you've set up all your distillery and all the equipment, and then you just like, oh, well, now what do? We're just going to sit around here and play cards until the whiskey's aged enough. I was like, no. So we've got the equipment there. Gin's pretty bloody cheap to make. So you can just release all these gins on the market. So that's why we've seen so much of it out there. Now, 4 or 5 years down the track, after those distilleries came up, those whiskies are starting to become awake. They're starting to get to that perfect position where you can release them on the market. So I think we'll see those distilleries take some of the focus off their gin and really push Australian whiskey. So like the Australian whiskey in the next probably 3 years is going to go gangbusters, and it's going to be a really, really exciting time to be drinking spirits in Australia, and plenty of bars should come on board with that. So yeah, check it out around Sydney. So yeah, the Archie Rose guys especially do great things. I could be wrong. I called peak craft beer in 2013.
Oh no. We still haven't hit peak craft beer.
No, I don't think we have. I think I called peak burger in 2011. So these things are always a bit silly. But I know peak craft beer. Well, I think in 2013, when I called it, the craft beer in Sydney and Australia, it was pretty boring kind of state of affairs. All these really hoppy, IPAs and double IPAs and stouts, and it's like, this isn't stuff I want to drink in the Australian climate, in the Australian summer. Give me some good lagers. Give me some good sour beers. The problem with lagers, your traditional BBs and whatnot, that, you know, Australians are accustomed to drinking, they're quite difficult to make compared to an Indian Pale Ale. And they take a fair bit more money and time. But now, because the Australian brewing industry is matured a lot more, it can afford to do that. And there's so many more lagers now on the market, especially in tins. Tins are bloody huge. Since the introduction of mobile canning lines in Australia about 18 months ago, everyone's just releasing all their beers in cans. So yeah, get involved in that in summer. There's so much good beer out there at the moment. So yeah, I was really, really wrong with calling Pete craft beer in 2013. But anyway, so best bars, if you are going out this weekend, if you can go to goodfood.com.au and check out the list then, or I can just tell you about it now. So probably, yeah, Archie Rose, as I just mentioned, they've got their awesome gins, which are really, really good, and you can try some of their whiskey. I think they released some out of the barrel, but it was 3 years old, so you can kind of get a taste of what it's going to taste like when it's really come to maturity. But Harry Rose is the bartender out there. She does amazing things. They've got whiskeys and gins from all around Australia, and really good beer and wine selection. You can get a Boilermaker. Boilermakers are a shot of whiskey and a can of beer, or you don't just need a can, but a can's better. So amazing way to start or end a night. So yeah, I like a Grifter Pale Ale with an Archie Rose or Starboard whiskey from Tasmania, actually. So Grifter Pale Ale and Starboard whiskey, Boilermaker. That's probably what you want to drink on the weekend. Baxter Inn in the city, still my favourite bar, I think, in Sydney. They've got 800 single malts behind the bar, which is ridiculous. And then you've got across from it, the new Duke of Clarence bar, which is much more of a focus on Irish whiskey, whereas Baxter is more Scottish. I think they've got about 500 different whiskies at Duke of Clarence. So they're pretty much next door to each other. That is a lot of whiskey for a very, very small area. I don't think there's any more anywhere in the world in that condensed area. And then also Bondi Beach Public Bar is definitely worth checking out. So that opened in summer with Morris Tazzini's new joint down on Bondi Beach. Awesome place. I feel too old to go there. My teeth aren't white enough. My skin's too white. But it's all just tanned young people with amazing teeth and amazing hair. But it's really, really good food. So Morris has just opened up a little venue within a venue there called Bonnie's. So it's a new wine bar, opened up yesterday. So I'll be down there that weekend and checking out. And fried, deep fried pizza, I think, is something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe not deep fried, but definitely fried pizza. Natural Italian and Australian wines. And I think it's like the kind of the grown up version. I think he's realizing like, oh, people over 24 don't want to come. I'm here, so we'll put this little venue within a venue at the back, a little Russian doll kind of venue. So that should be a lot of fun. So yeah, Bonnie's at Bondi Beach Public Bar. Definitely worth checking out.
So
weekend.
If people want to get on and find the whole list as well,
where
can they do that?
The whole 20. So that is at goodfood.com.au. You'll find the link on there and under Sydney's Top 20 Bars. And it'll also, the same list will be coming out in the Good Food Guide, the book itself, which is released this year on October 9th. It's the Tuesday. I think the awards are on Monday the 8th, so we were announced Restaurant of the Year and Best New Restaurant and Chef of the Year and all that. It's at a national awards now, so it'll be in Melbourne instead of Sydney this year. We will go one for one probably across those two cities now. But yeah, that top 20 bars list will be in that book as well, so you can pick up the book when it comes out in October, or you can just go online and read it now.
Thanks so much, Callan.
Pleasure.
Callan Boy is there with the weekly feed. He's the National Food and Drink Writer for Fairfax. There you go. Top 20 bars in Sydney. Definitely worth checking out as we roll on into the weekend.